Welcome to the Voices of Legacy. Today, we welcome and are honored, really, to have a radio legend, as it were, none other than Mr. Ross McCampbell, Executive Director of WBCL Radio in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and beyond. With over 3 decades of broadcasting, Ross has journeyed from Dairy Farm in southwestern Ohio, Southwestern Ohio, to become a pillar in Christian radio after studying communications and broadcasting at Ohio State. Now, I understand the comment about the jersey. he built a diverse career in radio, starting at Salem Media, which I'm very familiar with, Salem Broadcasting in Columbus, then moving to rock and urban and country stations in Knoxville, Tennessee, before finding a home at WBCL in Fort Wayne. Since taking on the helm in 2011, Ross has overseen incredible growth and change, really, for the station and expanding it in a very responsible and effective way, including the launch of Fort Wayne's first black gospel station, Rhythm and Praise, which I think he's very excited about, and expanding WBCL's reach into Toledo and beyond. WBCL now connects listeners of all ages and a variety of demographics over online stations as well as over-the-air media. We're excited to have none other and Mr. Ross McCampbell. Good morning, Mr. Ross. How are you?
Well, hello, Pastor Carl. I'm excited to be here. I'm honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're honored to have you and excited to see your vision for the future and to hear about what you're doing now and a little bit about your background, the good stuff, hopefully. Hopefully.
Well, yeah, that's the. We won't touch on the other stuff.
Ross, can you share a bit about your early years on the dairy farm in southwestern Ohio? Well, you know, I have to mention that my family, the Mitchells, down in Union Grove, North Carolina, at a place called Grassy Knot Mountain, my father brought right about 16 acres, I think it is. And right next to us was the Mitchell Farm. And it was a cattle farm. And if you know anything about the cows, that graze. Our grass was very green.
Oh, yes.
Being nice about it. So tell us, how was that experience and how do you think that has affected you moving forward?
Well, it was a dairy farm, of course, and it was southwest Ohio. It was real close to the Indiana state line.
Oh, okay.
And so I grew up listening while doing chores on the farm. We had a radio on the tractor. We had a radio in the barn.
Oh. Could you hear
radio
on the tractor?
In the house, you could. You had to really crank it up.
Yeah.
And there were some primitive headphones back then that you could rig.
Okay.
But yeah, I grew up listening to Cincinnati and Dayton media, and so I was always listening to the radio growing up. We doing chores or whatever, because you know, dairy farm, you never went anywhere, and so you have to milk the cows twice a day, whether you want to or not. So always had it on and just loved listening to radio. Got so where there was a couple stations, music stations in town where I was able to predict the next song coming up because I was so familiar with their rotation.
Yeah.
Their song rotation. So always had a love for that, love for music. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that I grew up on a farm. Never regret that, but I just have no desire to ever farm again.
Oh.
That was my two older brothers tried that.
Gotcha.
For as long as they could, but really didn't have that DNA. So always loved the music, loved people. Mm-hmm. The cows wouldn't talk back. You know, I talked to them, but there was just no answer. But they were nice.
You didn't do any cow tipping, did you?
No.
That's
just, you don't want to mess with that. And they're too heavy.
That's true.
You know, anyway. but had a great youth. Hard work. You learn hard work on the farm. I mean, there's just no way around that. So that's a good lesson to learn early. Mm-hmm. And so you stick with it when you start something and finish it. And so that's what I learned early, but I kind of knew by high school that I wanted to do something else.
Yeah.
And it was actually my vocational agriculture teacher, FFA, VOAG, I was always messing with the radio when we were in shop, shop class, fixing stuff and everything. And one day I blew up the radio because I was trying to get better reception. So I put the antenna too close to the outlet.
Oh, wow.
And it blew it up. So he was kind of annoyed at me. And he said, Russ, you know, there's a major, you can major in communication or broadcasting. You can be on the radio.
You're always
fooling with the radio. And it's like the light bulbs went off. I said, what? You know, I could get paid for doing being on the radio and, you know, actually go to college for that.
And this was in high school.
This was in high school, yeah. And so that's where I first even heard of a communication major. And right then and there, I knew that's what I wanted to do. So it was either going to be radio or TV. So majored in communication at Ohio State. And through interning, realized it was radio, really loved radio. TV, my grades were actually better in TV, but the labs weren't so great. The facilities weren't so great for radio.
That was in college, though.
That was in college.
Gotcha.
And so kind of determined in college that I wanted to stick with radio. And so interned at a station, a Salem Media station. That was my first station. I was their very first intern in Columbus. And that was an AM station. It's still there. I don't think it's quite like it was then. They were kind of pioneers back then with contemporary Christian music, along with some talk teaching
I was gonna ask you about
programs.
The talk
they had a mix of both. It was mostly talk teaching, but I think in the mornings they had a morning drive radio, and in the evenings, and if it was after sunset, I would get to DJ because they didn't sell the programming because they had to sign off at sunset. So they only sold programming up to about, I think, 5 o'clock, maybe 6 p.m., because it wouldn't hold up year-round.
Gotcha.
So in the summer months, that's where I cut my teeth being a DJ.
And so you preferred the music to the talk.
Absolutely, yeah. Without it, you know, I grew up listening to music and did music in school and that kind of thing. So, yeah, so I got that's where I got coached. And in the middle of summer, you know, you'd have like 3-4 extra hours of music. And it was great. It was great to learn some of the ropes early on that way.
So you've been in radio the whole while.
Yeah.
In one fashion or another.
Yeah, I was really, the last, I think, 2 years of college, I really didn't do a whole lot of fun stuff on the weekends. I was at the radio station, or at least in the summer most of the time, because I some days I would be sign on to sign off and work there and just study and do breaks and got a lot of experience that way. And they got hired there out of college. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. So after studying at Ohio State, you ventured into broadcasting, and your first role was in Salem Media, as you had mentioned. What was the initial experience like working for a real company outside of just interning?
Oh, it was exciting. I mean, that was what I wanted to do. And until they had hired me, I was canvassing for memberships for Sam's Club, or it was the Warehouse Club at the time, but it was a precursor. So I couldn't wait, you know, I really, even though I...
So you just knew.
Oh, I just knew, so it was exciting, it was thrilling to get hired on. Yeah, I wouldn't get paid hardly anything, but still I was getting experience. I had the foot in the door and was starting in the career. And initially, what caught their attention, it was a commercial station. So writing commercial copy was what really got me hired there initially, and then did music research for them and then some on-air things as well.
So did you enjoy the on-air as opposed to the administration behind the scenes, technical, or vice versa?
That's a good question. And if you ask some of my closest college friends, though, they'll tell you that even back then I wanted to either own or manage radio stations eventually and be on that side of things long term after DJing. And so I've loved both. I was a DJ for about 30 years at three stations prior to WBCL and WBCL and loved that. But I was able to transition pretty well because I was always looking forward to when I could manage a station, lead a team, and you know, help serve them and serve their needs and those kinds of things. That's what I get to do now. So, yeah, I absolutely love it.
Do you still read commercials?
No, we're a non-commercial station. So,
or PSAs or anything of that nature?
I don't. I really kind of walked away from it. I my line is I fired myself.
You've got the radio voice.
Well, and I appreciate that. And I do. And, you know, and I take it as a compliment, and I enjoyed it and can do it. Once or twice a year I'll go on the air, and it's mostly during a fundraiser. So
gotcha.
That's in January. So then I'll go on as well. But it's not a whole lot. Now, I'm really okay with it. I really like – I love what I do. And,
So the formats. Now, you've worked a bunch of different formats.
Yes, I
am. I'm not going to ask you the stereotypical question, which is your favorite, okay? But how has each genre influenced your approach to radio?
Well, I will say, I mean, I have no bones about it. Contemporary Christian music is probably my favorite. I feel called to it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it's more than just because of the lyrics. I feel there's more to it
than
just entertainment. But it can do both at the same time. But
oh, I've had that argument.
Yeah,
this is truly not about me. Yeah. But some people believe that gospel entertainment is a thing, and I tend to kind of lean to the side of ministry.
Exactly. I mean, our mission is to minister first, but it's not just to entertain. So it's including both at the same time.
Yeah.
But I mean, I feel called to it. And so that was my first station, that format as well. But then I really wanted to learn a lot about radio. So I followed a guy to Knoxville and we were at a station that was, he was trying to do a gradual format shift. You should never do that.
Yeah.
That's where I learned you pick a format, any format, but just do it. Don't try to. We were doing urban because that's what it primarily was, but he was gradually transitioning it to oldies rock. That's when that format was new.
Yeah.
Or pretty new. And basically everybody was ticked off. So
what are you doing?
I get calls from folks who love the urban music. Mm-hmm. And then I literally in the same hour would be playing LL Cool J and the Beach Boys.
Oh wow.
And so I was like, what's happening here? It was a lot of lessons learned. But you know, there was things about each format I like, because I like music, so I have pretty eclectic taste in music. So there were certain songs in the urban market that I wouldn't have heard otherwise that I enjoyed. Mm. And of course, oldies music, you know, kind of grew up on that too. So oldies rock was a lot of fun. Then,
so how do you gradually transition? Usually
you don't.
When there's a format change, it just changes.
You don't do it well.
One day it's Radio Libre, and the next day
I only heard it that time when I was experiencing it. I've never heard it since. And I don't know where the authorities at the time, I don't know what they were thinking about a gradual. Because, you just have to cut the cord and pick one. So, no, I can't even answer how you do it, because I don't think you can do a gradual format.
They're probably still talking about that. In 2011, you became the executive director of WBCL.
Mm-hmm.
What drew you to this role, and how have you seen the station evolve under your leadership?
Well, a lot's happened. Yeah, I was a DJ when I first arrived in 1990, and then had some roles in. I was assistant program director for a while. Mm-hmm. Then
and you took over from the role of someone that was retired. Was that right?
That actually there were.
Or retiring?
Well, she was changing positions, so she didn't retire. The person before her retired.
Okay.
And so, you know, I won't go into all the details. It was all good. It was all positive. But we had really a pioneer lady, pioneer woman. She'd laugh at us.
That's probably the third part to that question.
She was kind of the stalwart that got us really going.
Yes.
And was there for a long time and was excellent. And then lady followed her and was kind of mentored by her, but she just decided about after 5 or 6 years, it's not what she wanted to do. She didn't want to retire being the executive director. That just wasn't her thing. And hats off, she realized that and instead of being miserable, then they opened up the position and did a search, national search. And I knew by then I was starting to get the itch to be in leadership again. I didn't need to be, because we had good leadership for many years. And so she stayed on, actually moved to front office, more of the front office part, and on leadership team. I survived the national search, put my name in the hat, and actually became her boss. So that rarely happens. And the program director at the time was my boss up until 2011, and then I became his supervisor. And he's still there and is our program director. But there's not many places that can survive that kind of switching around. But the pride was not involved. In our view, it's ministry and mission first, what's best for the station and the ministry and
the people you serve.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And so I've always been grateful for her to have been able to do that, and to our program director, who, again, was my boss for the first 11 years there, 11, 12 years. And now I've been his boss since then. And there's been really no,
that sounds kind of
absolutely
rare.
No hiccups. Sure. I mean, we may not agree on everything, but it's been amazingly good.
That's great. That's great. So your perspective coming from on air, going into leadership, do you think that's helped you?
I do for where I'm at. Yeah. Would that apply for everywhere? I don't know. But I do think it has helped us because when it came time for me to start attending meetings out in the community, do some development, fundraising related type things, people already knew who I was. I mean, it's radio, as you know, or, you know,
that
media.
Personality,
You know, you're in their car, you're in their kitchen, you know. Yeah. All places
in the restroom,
in the restroom, or taking a shower, you know, but they are your family.
Yeah, and, very much so.
And we have that kind of a legacy with our listeners. And so, yeah, I was on the air a long time as well, in evenings when I first got there, and then middays. So, yeah, I do think it did help me for WBCL.
And probably the listenership, too.
Yeah, I think so.
I'd say.
I think so, yeah.
WBCL has expanded their presence in a unique way, and I thank God I've actually experienced something similar with American Family. They had a branding of Urban Family Talk for a number of years with your urban rhythm and praise, the 24/7 Christian station with WBCL beats and so forth. Were those your ideas, or I guess a community decision to kind of go into a new direction with the branding?
Well, the Rhythm and Praise began, you'll take credit or blame one or the other, but so far I think it's credit because it's been a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
But that just evolved out of actually a sermon at church one day. And the long story short was, I felt convicted to see where we could reach out and reconcile the larger community and to see, well, okay, what did the Black community not have primarily? And that was a station that played the music that the culture really loves, yet still had the same mission as WBCL.
Yeah, same message.
It's identical message and mission,
yeah,
but just music that appeals to the Black community. And that was the whole idea of creating that, and so we you know, it's not like I've like have deep experience in racial reconciliation or community work like that. It's like, no, I now do radio, and it's like they don't have one of those stations. So I just thought, well, let's give it a shot. I talked to different Black leaders in our church and our community, and it says, is this a good idea? Is this dumb or whatever? But to a person, they said, yeah, we need one. And then he gave me three or four more people to talk to.
Wow.
So it was never, I never had to beat down any doors. It was more like, hey, come on through. You know, here's who we want you to meet. And so we started it as an online only station in 2018. And that, it went okay. We did our research. We thought that'd be okay because it's a lot less expensive to do an online station than a terrestrial one. And in other markets that worked just fine, but in Fort Wayne it was like, no, they didn't feel that it was totally legit unless
it was
had a terrestrial FM signal.
Yes.
And I understand. Message heard, and it was clear. It was clear to the folks that we hired to be on Rhythm and Praise, and they were out in the community and hearing firsthand. And so God made it happen. It was like during the pandemic.
Oh, wow.
A signal became available that we just didn't foresee at all. And so we were online Zoom doing discussions and negotiation with the other entity, and they wanted to see it. They didn't want a national syndication thing to come in. They want it to be local, stay local.
Yes.
Well, that's us. And so they were real favorable to where we were heading with that. And so that's in Fort Wayne on 94.1. You will hear Rhythm and Praise now. And it's about 2 or 3 years old now. And they're gaining traction. The community is becoming aware that they're there. And now they just need to be aware that they have to support us.
Yes.
Because it's still listener supported and a nonprofit, just like we are. But it's been a good thing. It's been a really good thing. And I've heard a lot of music I wouldn't otherwise hear. And some great songs, music. And it's not just African-Americans listening. I mean, they're reaching the community as a whole, those who may not like other forms of music. But they primarily minister to the Black community.
Understood. And that's also in Toledo.
It is. It's kind of a you gotta know how to get it, because they're focused on Fort Wayne as far as ministry and interaction. But you can get it actually very loud and clear, and so it's like a little secret. Sure, because people will say they stumbled on it and really love it, and it's you have to have an HD receiver. So
which most newer cars?
Most of them do. Most of them past a certain year are
all phones.
Yeah. So we had updated when we bought the Toledo signal. It was a really old, some old equipment. So we updated the transmitter to be an HD.
Yeah, digital.
Digital. And so on 88.9 FM is WBCL. If it's 88.9 HD1, it's WBCL. But if you just click it or turn the knob one more to HD2, 88.9 HD2, you're going to get Rhythm and Praise loud and clear.
Wow.
And everywhere 88.9 reaches, Rhythm and Praise will reach on HD2. So it has a larger coverage than the Fort Wayne signal.
That's awesome.
It's weird engineering stuff, you know.
But there hadn't been any real push for reach that you do have.
And right now we don't anticipate, because we only have 2 full-time employees. And it's everything they can do to really interact with the Fort Wayne community. It's just a lot to do. So it'd be a little bit too much to ask for, you know, to try to do Toledo and Fort Wayne.
As far as promoting,
being here and that kind of thing.
As someone with deep experience in Christian media, how do you see the role of radio evolving? I'd say especially with the rise of the digital platform. Do you think that there's a real opportunity? Pretty much what we were just talking about, of expansion in the messaging and in that format?
In digital?
Yes.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's transitioning. Now, it's not transitioning as much as all digital entities want you to think. and I don't mean that in a nasty, negative way, but terrestrial radio hasn't done a real good marketing job in both secular or religious, doesn't matter.
Yes.
There are people under a certain age, even those who might be boomers or older, thinking that it's radio's dying and it's practically, you know, on life preserve. And it's just simply not the case. We look at national numbers every year, and they do national surveys, and most of the people still get their new music and still listen to terrestrial radio, AM, FM. It doesn't matter the format.
Yes.
By far. I mean, we're talking probably in the 80th, low 90th percentile of the population. But everybody thinks, because the other entity does such a good marketing job and just slams you with it, that you just think they've taken over already. Well, they're not. And we're on both.
Yeah.
And we're watching it. But no, we're not going to turn our transmitters off, because that would be really silly because the majority of the public still listening to the transmitters.
Yes.
That's just simply the case. And I don't care what format. I'm not just Christian. And so, but it is changing. So but it's very gradual. And so you really got to do both right now. And so that's why we do both.
Yeah. The change, I think, is moving at a pace where you can, if you're paying attention to the transition, embrace it.
We're
sitting right here in the WGTE studio,
public
media right now, and broadcasting over pretty much every platform there is in existence. That's the change. It's WGTE public media.
The best illustration I've heard is, it's like in the old, in another era, it's those who used to make buggies.
Yeah.
Some refused to accept the fact that cars were coming, mm-hmm. but then the ones who were successful learned how to adapt their buggy frame into a car frame.
That's right.
And made the transition. And that's what's happening right now.
Coach building. That's where that came from.
There you go. There you go.
with so much focus on uplifting and inspiring content, what message do you hope WBCL brings to your listeners every day?
Well, our mission, we communicate God's redemptive truth and love. And that's awesome. The first statement of our mission statement. That's the most important. And we do it through captivating media. Mm-hmm. So it includes different channels, different types of things. So we encourage, inspire, educate. Entertain is part of that.
I was going to say,
it's
from
part of it.
From listening, it sounds like you guys have a lot of fun.
We do. We do. We require our DJs to have a sense of humor.
Yes.
And so, it's a mix of all that. But primarily, that's our mission. Yeah. To
awesome.
Communicate God's love and truth.
What is your plan for growth? And we talked about the digital media. We've talked about your footprint going into Toledo and the, mm-hmm. And the surrounding area and how massive that is in comparison. What's the vision moving forward?
Well, you want us just to reveal the whole game plan.
Pretty much. You're
right here on this podcast. honestly, our approach, and really there's no hidden agenda here. Mm-hmm. We're still trying to figure it all out.
Gotcha.
We really are, and so as everybody is. If you to say you would have a 5 to 10 year plan, that's almost comical. Because how do you do that? I mean, there's so much that can change. There's so much that can change in 3 years.
Yeah.
With the technology now, so I really can't. We have no like we're going to take over the world of broadcasting plan. The way for us expansion has kind of evolved in a real rhythm for us. And it's really been, it's not like we've been looking, oh, what's the next available open air signal? We must have it. No, it's been more like our listeners would tell us, hey, I live closer to the Indiana state line, but I go to work in Lima, and I'd love to be able to hear you in Lima. Mm-hmm. That's how it evolved. And originally it was Archbold, Ohio. That was our first signal outside of the Fort Wayne signal was in Archbold or Spencerville. Mm-hmm. Archbold, Ohio. That was the first one. And we have one in Spencerville. But it was more like I either listen at work or I listen at home, but I can't eat you in both places. Mm-hmm. Why can't you, you know, and then enough, you get enough of that. It was like, well, okay, if something opens up there, we'll have to take a look at it. Mm-hmm. And that's how we've expanded. I mean, really, over the years. And
so you have a lot of commuter listening.
We do. Mm-hmm. We really do. And we're blessed to be kind of a regional. Mm-hmm. Station. Yes, I mean, the signal originates in Fort Wayne. Mm-hmm. That's where the studios are. But just over the years, it has just expanded, and that's how it's expanded. I mean, even the Toledo signal was, we weren't looking for the 88.9. We really weren't.
Yeah.
Honest to goodness. And it was kind of a happy accident, although I don't believe in accidents, but that, you know, that's part of my faith. I think mm-hmm. God's in control of it all. But
yeah.
But I guess it's my stupidity. I didn't realize we found out it was available. And our first, honest to goodness, our engineer will tell you this, because when he told us about it, our first look at it was like, okay, it'll fill in some gaps of coverage in southwest Michigan mm-hmm. and extreme northwest Ohio. It'll fill in some of those and maybe north of that a little bit. But I first told him, well, it's like, who are we going to get? More cows and sheep listening? I mean, there's not really, you know, we at first weren't interested. And of course, our engineer buried the headline. He said, oh, and we were driving around and listening to the signal. He said, oh, by the way, it will cover all of Toledo and Bowling Green.
By the way.
Why didn't you lead with that? Why didn't you just start with that? Because, you know, we had enough listeners over the years. We had a signal on the west side of Toledo.
Yeah.
Since 1992, probably four or five counties.
Yeah.
But it wasn't to the point where it was worth the investment to get over here because you were only talking, it was more of northwest Ohio, a little bit of Toledo.
Yeah.
In that market. But once this signal was available and it just became obvious that, okay, we need to pursue this and the seller was favorable towards it and towards us. And he actually wanted it to stay a Christian format, because it was before, I guess.
That wasn't the Catholic, was it?
I think it was Calvary.
Yes.
I think so.
I think it is Calvary.
So I think they were looking to reduce their footprint, and they really wanted to stay ministry and in the region, and that's where we were.
Well, thank God for those Bob Ross little happy accidents.
Happy little happy. Because that's what it really was. And then, of course, then I realized, it's that way with every signal expansion. Mm-hmm. We realized, we got to get over there.
Yeah.
How can we serve the listeners? Because, again, we're nonprofit and we're more ministry-oriented. So it's like, how can we help the ministries, the nonprofits, the pastors, all that? And that's how you and I got connected, because there's a ministry called Merge over here that everybody was telling me, you got to meet the folks at Merge.
Yes.
You know, and I was interviewing leaders and pastors and all that. And so started attending their wonderful people and a wonderful uniting kind of ministry. And so you came one of those, and we exchanged cards or whatever. And
here we are.
Here we are right now.
Last question. What do you think Ross's legacy is, and what would you like for it to be?
Holy cow, that's a question. Okay.
Why it's the last question.
No kidding. You have to edit out the dead air that I'm thinking. I think current would be, I've always tried to utilize the strengths of the people God has put in our ministry, on our team, in every position. I think I've been diligent to do that. You know, certainly tried to do that. You know, he's perfect. You make mistakes. But I've tried to enhance our ministry to get the people in the right places, to do the best radio media that we can possibly do. So that'd be the current. Future, like I said, I don't know if I can determine. I can't. That'd be other people determine what. Okay, they did a great job and they had a good time doing it.
That's a good one.
There you go. I'd be fine with that.
Oh, man, awesome. Well, Ross, I thank God that you made a way to get here to talk to me.
It's my pleasure.
And share your life with us, and hopefully with the listeners. You know, I do believe that we're not just healed by the testimony, but it's inspiring to folks. Sometimes we have no idea how our lives may inspire others.
Sure.
So I thank you for sharing your life with us today on the Voices of Legacy.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Voices of Legacy. This is your friend, Pastor Carl Mitchell III, your host of this program. We want you to go to wgte.org/legacy to like, share, subscribe, and hear all of our past podcasts and our future podcasts. Be a friend and join with us in the Voices of Legacy, where you're writing your own legacy every day that you live. Have a blessed day.